Blog Talk Radio.
Me say some of we bless still with food. Me a granny girl say blessings are running up. Me a say me a drink out a glass and glass cup and run over. What does it mean?
I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed.
Right now, man, you know, say me well blessed. Inna me life, a pure peace and happiness. Inna me face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so not that me I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm my Lord, I'm my Savior. Jesus Christ, Him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, Him is my Provider. Jesus Christ, Him is my Protector. Right now, I am just the one I'm dead. I'm the one I'm just to be disappointed. Right now, church, I'm just too blessed. Just too blessed to be blessed. I am too blessed. I'm too blessed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed. Tell me wake up early this morning. Outside, no thunder and storming. But then me watch how God start performing. 5 minutes later and the storm start coming. Don't you know God is in full control? Nobody sit down in a chair with your hands full. Nobody make Satan make you feel
full. Praise the Lord and welcome to Vision. This is Evangelist Faith Reed, and I'm so glad that you have joined me on this evening. I'm truly happy to be joining you during this resurrection weekend, Easter, whether you call it Easter or resurrection weekend. I'm just so glad to be celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Truly, I had a good weekend praising the Lord and blessing His name, and I hope that you have too. I want to talk to you this evening from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But just before we do that, let us pray. Dear Lord, we just honor you today. We thank you, Lord God, for bringing us together another time in fellowship. I thank you, Lord, for all of our listeners around the world, those who have tuned in periodically, those who truly love the Lord, those who are truly hoping and waiting, knowing that you love them and you care about their families. I pray, oh God, for those in the United States and those all over the world, oh God, in Africa, in India, in Central America, in Asia, Father, oh God, in the Caribbean. We just thank you, Lord God, for those in Europe and, oh God, in many nations of the world. Father God, we know that you hear us, you understand our hearts, you know everything about us, oh Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for those who are being faithful. We pray, oh God, for the persecuted church, those around the world who hide to pray and hide to read their Bibles, those who stand firm in their commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, those who will not back down, but those who know that you have them in the palm of your hands and that you are protecting them. We thank you, Lord God, for your people everywhere. Oh, God, we give you praise for your healing touch upon them. God, for those who are sick that are receiving your touch right now, those that are weak that are receiving your strength right now, those that were discouraged that are being encouraged right now, we thank you for each and every one of them, oh, God. I pray your blessings upon them and their families. And, Lord God, as we break bread together by studying your word today, I pray, O God, that you would speak to our hearts, open up our understanding, O God, and use me for your glory and your honor. And I say thanks to you in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Dear friend, it's been a little while since we have studied together. I have been busy writing books and just truly enjoying the presence of the Lord. If you have a moment, look up the books on Amazon.com. I am planning actually a trip overseas on the mission field, and I need your help to purchase books and what have you, log on to Amazon.com and purchase some books under Faith Read, R-E-I-D. Look online. The last book is I Have Confidence, I Walk by Faith. Look that book up, and I pray that you will enjoy it. I know that it will be a blessing to you, and there are other books also. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Bible says, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also you have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? I'm still in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm at verse 13. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Now look again with me at, beginning at verse 50, I'm still in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at, continuing on with verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen and amen to the word of God. Truly, I am so thankful to be studying with you. The Bible says in verse 1, 1 Corinthians 15, it says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand." Paul was talking to the church at Corinth, and he was trying to help them to understand, or he was helping to reaffirm their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted them to understand that he also came among those apostles and believed. But one of the things that Paul emphasized was the fact that he felt as if he was least among the apostles. Now, if truth be told, Paul was actually the greatest of the apostles in the works that he did, but yet he considered himself the least of these. The reason why he considered himself the least of these, in my estimation, would be the fact that he came from being a killer to a saint. In other words, he persecuted the church. He killed a lot of people, and he thought that he was right in killing all of those people. And so, even though he was a great man of God, I believe that sometimes he felt regret over the things that he did. Dear friend, even though you might feel regret over the things that you have done in your past, I want you to know that your past does not dictate your future. Jesus has already gone to the cross for you. Jesus has already resurrected from the grave for you. Jesus has already overcome for you. And so if you are like Paul, where you regret the things that you have done in your past, even though you're a great man of God now, or you are a great woman of God now, I want you to know that you do not have to hold your head down, that you can stand firm in your faith, believing and trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus has already borne your sins on the cross. He has already been beaten for you. He has already been spit upon for you. He has already taken your shame and your guilt. And so you don't have to be in shame and in guilt anymore, because Jesus has already borne that just for you. Dear friend, be encouraged today. Be strengthened today. Be strong today. Know that God loves you, he cares about you, and he does not want you to continue living in the past. He wants you to live in the present and to understand that you have a great future. God has great things in store for you, but he wants you to stop living in shame and in guilt and to recognize that you are already forgiven. The moment you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins, you are already forgiven. Your sins are already behind you. The moment you ask Jesus to come into your heart, he does forgive you. Paul, who was one of the greatest apostles, felt as if he was the least of these because of his past. But I want you to know, dear friend, once again, your past will not, cannot dictate your future. I want you to put your faith in God. I want you to put your trust in God. I want you to understand that God is taking you places. He's already mapped out the path for you, and all you've got to do is place your hands into God's hands and let him lead and direct you. Give God praise right now. The Bible says in verse 4, "And that he was buried." Look at verse 3. "For I delivered unto you first all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." I want you to know, dear friend, that Christianity is the only religion that has a risen Savior. Christianity is the only religion that has a risen Savior. I want you to understand about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He is not dead, but he is alive. He was crucified, but he rose on the third day. He is now sitting on the right hand of the Father. He is now making intercession, or he is praying on your behalf. You do not serve a dead Savior. You serve a Savior who is alive and well. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive, dear friend. Jesus is alive. He is alive and well, and he loves you very much. He cares about you, and as I've stated before, he has already borne your sins on the cross. All you have to do is surrender your life to him right now. All you have to do is trust him right now, because he wants you to serve him, and he wants to use you for his glory and for his honor. Praise him right now. We take a moment right now, Jesus, and we bless you. We give you glory. We give you honor, Lord, for you alone are worthy to be praised. Dear friend, I want you to understand this resurrection. I want you to understand about who Jesus really is. Because when you understand who Jesus really is, then you will not be easily fooled or bamboozled by people who tell you things that are not true. You will not be easily led astray by every wind of doctrine, everything that tickles your ear. You will not be led astray by people who try to pull you into cults and into strange beliefs. When you understand who Jesus is and that he is the Son of God, he is the resurrected Savior who came here as the suffering Messiah. When you understand that he bled and he died on the cross for you, when you understand that he was beaten for you, when you understand that he is your resurrected Savior, then you will be able to speak boldly to others and let them know that, yes, you believe in Jesus. Yes, you understand who he is. Yes, you know that he loves you. Yes, you know that he cares about you. Yes, you understand that you'll never be alone. You're never forsaken. Yes, you know that it doesn't matter where you go, that Jesus will always go with you. You will know who this Jesus is, and you will understand him, and you will be able to speak boldly on his behalf and let everyone you meet know that Jesus is alive and well. Bless the Lord right now, dear friend. Look at verse 10. The Bible says, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." After Paul stated in verse 9 that he was the least of the apostles, then he went on to say that by the grace of God I am what I am. Dear friend, once you become a new creature in Christ, it is not by your works that you are who you are. It is not by your works that you are a Christian, or even that you are a strong Christian, but it is by the grace of God. Because we cannot make it without the grace of God. We cannot make it without God directing us and giving us strength to do what we do. We cannot make it without understanding that God is the one fortifies us. He is the one that keeps us. He is the one that lives in and through us. Look at verse 11. It says, "Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so ye believe." So Paul says, whether it was the people who had gone before him, or whether it was him preaching, he is just so thankful to know that when the gospel was preached, that you listen and that you believe. It is a beautiful thing when somebody understands the gospel of Jesus Christ that is being preached. It is a beautiful thing when people turn their hearts unto God. You see, many are called, but few are chosen. I want you to understand, dear friend, that there are a lot of people who go to church. There are a lot of people who hear the gospel preach. There are a lot of people who sit in their houses and hear the gospel preach, or they might even hear it on the radio. But not everyone becomes a Christian. Not everyone surrenders their lives to the Lord. So, dear friend, if you have done this, then I say it is a wonderful thing. And angels in heaven are rejoicing over one soul that would surrender his or her heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. So, dear friend, I am happy that you have surrendered your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I am happy that you have chosen to become a Christian, that you have chosen to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said that we preach and so ye believe. It took a preacher to preach the gospel, but thank God you believe. The Bible says in verse 12, I'm still in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12, now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? Now, dear friend, you need to be careful. There are some folks in our society who do not believe in Jesus, who do not believe in his resurrection from the dead. You need to guard your faith. Study the Bible carefully. Understand what it says about Jesus, so that when you meet those who are unbelievers and who do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you will not be shaken in your faith, but you will stand your ground and let them know that Jesus is alive. He is the risen Savior, and that you will not back down in what you believe, but you will stand up and let them know that he is the risen Savior. I bless him right now, and I praise him right now, and I hope that you will continue to praise him also. So Paul did a whole dialogue back and forth. It's almost like the type of argument that a lawyer would do in the courtroom. In other words, he gave you the positive, and then he's giving you the opposing view also. And so when you are a Bible scholar, you must know what the opposition believes. Because if you do not know what the opposition believes, you will not know how to defend the gospel. And so when you read these verses, you've got to understand what Paul was trying to do. He was not trying to confuse you, but he was trying to help you to understand the opposing view of those who do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he wanted to argue the point that if Jesus did not really rise from the dead, then our faith would be in vain and our hope would be in vain. And those who have already died in Christ, their death and their belief in Christ would be in vain, because there would be no life after death. There would be no resurrection after death. But he said, no, 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 my friend. I don't want you to stay in that unbelief. I want you to understand that our faith is not in vain. Our hope is not in vain. If it was just in this life that we would have hope in Jesus, then we would be most miserable. But in fact, we are not miserable, but we are glad. We are hopeful. We are joyful, because we understand that our faith is not in vain. Our hope is not in vain. We understand that Jesus did rise from the dead. Look at verse 19, what I just said. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But look at verse 20. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. In other words, Jesus is the first fruits. Jesus is the risen Savior. And so even those who have already died in Christ, they know that they died still with hope in their hearts. And we know that we shall meet them again if we should stay in Christ until we too die or we fall asleep, as the Bible puts it. We know that we shall meet our loved ones again on the other side, because they died in hope, knowing that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. Look at verse 21. It says, for since by man came death, referring to Adam and Eve sinning in the garden, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. So verse 21 refers to the sin of Adam and Eve. If you go back to the book of Genesis, you'll see that God commanded them not to touch of the tree of life. He told them that the tree of good and evil, that they were not supposed to touch it. How many of you know that when God tells us not to touch something, somehow it just seems more appealing? And so when God told them not to touch it, and they did touch it, the Bible says that he went ahead and allowed them to fall into sin. So I'm looking at while I was talking, I was looking it up so I could tell you exactly where it is. Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, it says, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone, and I will make him an helpmeet for him. And so God told him, Adam, not to touch of the tree of good and evil. And then he made him a female to join him. And of course, we know the story, how after Eve joined him, even though Adam, I'm sure, had explained to her the commandments of God, she went ahead and touched this tree. She offered the fruit to her husband, Adam. He ate of the tree. And, of course, they didn't die a physical death. They died a spiritual death. And we know that because of that, all mankind was plunged into what we call sin. Now, the Bible refers back to that in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22. It says, verse 21, it says, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. And in verse 22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. And so we understand that when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, that it was not a physical death, it was a spiritual death. And because of that, we needed a Savior. And so the Bible refers to it as one man bringing us into death, but another man bringing us into life. And of course, we know that man was Jesus Christ, because he took off his heavenly glory, put on the form of man, walked on the earth, and was born of a virgin, walked here on the earth, and he was fully God and fully man. And when it was time for him to go to Calvary, he was crucified on what we call Good Friday. We refer to it as Good Friday. He was crucified, and then he was resurrected on the third day, which many call Resurrection Sunday, or some refer to it as Easter. But the bottom line is, we have to understand that the moment that Jesus bore our sins on the cross, that we are no longer dead in our sins once we ask Jesus to forgive us of our sins. We are no longer dead in our sins. We must understand that Jesus shed his blood on Calvary once and for all for us. He was that perfect lamb. If we refer even back to the book of Exodus, back in Exodus chapter 12, we'll see that when God passed through Egypt to smite the firstborn of Egypt, he told the children of Israel that they were to kill a lamb without blemish, and that they were to put the blood of the lamb on their doorposts so that he would pass over their houses and the firstborn of the children of Israel would not die. Dear friend, Exodus chapter 12 was just a foreshadow of the real Lamb of God, which was to come, or who was to come, to die for our sins. Jesus was that perfect Lamb, as in that Passover passage in Exodus chapter 12. Jesus was that perfect Lamb that would shed his blood once and for all for sins, so that the Bible talks about, or the songwriter talks about, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. I want you, dear friend, to understand that when you apply the blood of Jesus to your life, when you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, the Lord himself will see that blood application. In other words, it might not literally be blood that you spill at and mark on your forehead, but it will be the fact that you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You have asked him to be Lord of your life, and that you recognize the shedding of his blood, that he was the perfect Lamb who shed his blood, and that it was done once and for all. It does not have to happen again, and that all you have to do is recognize what he did and serve him and realize that he has resurrected from the grave just for you. And so let's look at these last few verses in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 to see what it means to us. In verse 50, it says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." So, dear friend, what does the resurrection of Jesus Christ mean to us? It means that once and for all, Jesus has had victory over death. Death means absolutely nothing anymore. In other words, one of these days when you leave this world, your soul will continue living forever. Death means nothing. In other words, if you fall asleep in this world, you wake up in that other world with Jesus. You wake up in his presence. Jesus has conquered death, sin, and the grave. Verse 55 says, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" So in other words, if Jesus had not gone to the cross for us, then we would have to fear death. We would have to fear what is going to come in the next world, in the afterlife. But we don't have to fear the afterlife, dear friend. You don't have to fear death. No one in your family has to fear death, because Jesus has already conquered death. When we close our eyes in this world, we open our eyes in the next world. In other words, we truly never, ever die, because we were made in the image of God himself. We are not just physical, but we are spirit. Amen. Mind, body, soul. We are spirit. So God has placed his spirit within us. And so when we leave this world, we might shed this earthly body that we are housed in, but we never truly die, because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He once said to the woman of Samaria, "Woman, if you drink of that water, you will thirst again. But if you drink of my water, I am that living water, and you shall never, ever thirst again." Dear friend, if you drink of this earthly water, yes, you can get yourself all types of water. It doesn't matter what the name brand is. But, dear friend, if you get yourself a name brand bottle of water, how many of you know that you will still thirst again after finishing that bottle of water. But when you drink of the water that Jesus offers you, dear friend, you shall never be thirst again. Your soul will never thirst again. Why? Because the emptiness that you feel while living in your sin, the emptiness that you feel being separated from God, once you surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not feel that emptiness anymore. God himself will replace that emptiness with peace, with joy, with rest. You will not have nightmares anymore. You will not be restless anymore in your spirit, but you will understand that Jesus has given you peace. Jesus has given you new life. Jesus has already conquered death, sin, and the grave for you. Verse 56 says, or 55 rather, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Verse 56, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is the law. In other words, if we were still living under the law, we would be still sacrificing animals. But we are no longer living under the law. We do not have to sacrifice animals anymore. Yes, we still follow the Ten Commandments. Yes, those are still in full force. But we know that Jesus came and he has fulfilled prophecy. We no longer need goats and lambs. We do not need their blood anymore because Jesus, the perfect Lamb of God, has already shed his blood on Calvary for us. Look at verse 57, dear friend, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57. It says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Give thanks to him right now, dear friend. Understand that we should be thankful that we already have the victory. We should be thankful that we are already overcomers. We should be thankful that we're already pressing our way through. We should be thankful to know that God is already doing great things in our lives. We should be thankful to know that we don't have to give up right now. We should be thankful to know that we don't have to back up right now. God is doing great things, dear friend. He's doing great things in your life. He's doing great things in the lives of your loved ones. Don't give up. Press in right now. This is the time to press in. We're living in the last days. Jesus is coming soon and very soon. And he is coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. He's coming back for a church that is ready and prepared to meet him. Don't sit around doing nothing, dear friend. Get up and tell someone about Jesus. Get up. Prepare your house. Make yourself ready because Jesus is coming again soon and very soon. Look at our last verse. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Beloved, the Lord calls you beloved, dear friend. You are beloved of him. He loves you very much. He cares about you very much. Be steadfast. In other words, keep doing what you're doing. Keep moving in the right direction. Unmovable. Don't allow anyone to stop you from believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't allow anyone to shake your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Always, always, always continue to put your trust in the Lord. The Bible says always abounding in the work of the Lord. In other words, continue to do what God is calling you to do. Continue to stand firm. Don't be discouraged by the people around you who are doing nothing. Don't be discouraged by the people around you who are negative and pessimistic. Don't be discouraged by those people. Keep a smile on your face. Be encouraged. Be strengthened. I'm going to say it one more time. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Dear friend, your labor is not in vain. I know it gets tiring. I know sometimes you feel like giving up. I know sometimes you just don't have enough people around you to help you. But don't give up. It doesn't matter how small or insignificant you think that your part is in the kingdom. I want you to know that there's no one in the kingdom that is insignificant. Whatever part you play, dear friend, it is important to God. You are important to God. I'm going to say it one more time. You are important to God. Don't ever think that whatever you're doing is in vain. God sees your labor. God sees your prayers. God sees your tears. God sees your heart. He understands you. He knows everything about you. He knows your thought even before you do. He knows your heart even before you do. Don't ever stop praying. Don't ever stop hoping. Don't ever stop believing, because God truly is sitting on his throne. Jesus is making intercession for you. He loves you. He cares about you. And he is going to work everything out for you. Dear friend, I'm going to say it one more time for good measure. Verse 58 in 1 Corinthians 15, it says, therefore, in other words, after I have said all that I have already said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast. I don't know how many times I need to say it. Dear friend, hold on. Don't give up. Unmovable. Don't move. Don't move. If God doesn't say move, don't move. If God says continue what you're doing, continue what you're doing. Don't allow people to discourage you. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know. Come on now, I know you know that. I know you know that God loves you. I know you know that God cares about you. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I wish you would pass this message on to everyone that you know. Let them know that their labor is not in vain. God sees you. God knows who you are. God sees your children. He sees your husband. He sees your wife. He sees everything about you. Your labor is not in vain. Be encouraged, dear friend. Be encouraged, my brother. Be encouraged, my sister. Be encouraged. If you never get a chance to tune into this broadcast again, which I hope you do, I want you to remember this word from the Lord. Be encouraged. It's not over. God says it's over. Be encouraged. I want to close this message with Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and verse 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And our closing thoughts for today, persistence is the key. Smile anyhow. Don't give up. There is no such thing as can't. And what you believe, you can achieve. Dear friend, I don't know what you have been worrying about, what's been on your heart, what's been on your mind, but I want you to know that God loves you. He cares about you. Greater things are in store for you. And as we close, I do have one more thing for you. This is a poem that says, just say, Jesus. It is 7th time down. That is who wrote this. And listen to this. It said, life gets tough and times get hard. It's hard to find the truth in all the lies. You're tired of wondering why. Your heart isn't healing and nothing feels like home, because you're lost and alone, just screaming at the sky. When you don't know what to say, just say Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. If the words won't come because you're too afraid to pray, just say Jesus. Whisper it now or shout it out. However it comes out, he hears your cry. Out of nowhere, he will come. You got to believe it. He will rescue you. Just call out to the way, the truth, the light. When you don't know what to say, just say Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. If the words won't come because you're too afraid to pray, just say Jesus. Dear friend, just say Jesus. Call on him right now. Just before we play another song for you, I want to pray with you. Dear friend, whatever it is that you have been facing, realize that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He has conquered death, sin, and the grave for you, so that you can have life and have it more abundantly. Let us pray. Dear Father, we just give you glory, honor, and praise today. I thank you, Lord, for your kindness. I thank you for your love. I thank you, Lord, for just being, Lord, our precious Savior. I thank you for how you love us so much. You care about us so much. I just pray for each and every one, Lord, that is listening to me right now. I pray that you would bless them. Oh, God. Those who are sick right now, I know that you're able to heal. I speak healing over their minds, healing over their bodies right now. We speak, oh, God, directly, oh, God. Father, oh, God, earaches, backaches right now. We speak directly, oh, God, over knee muscles, oh, God. Father, that right knee that has been giving trouble for someone right now, be healed in the name of Jesus. I thank you right now for muscle spasms that someone is having, really bad muscle spasms. I rebuke those muscle spasms right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, for your healing power, oh God, upon someone's ear right now. I thank you that earaches are leaving, eyes are clearing up. Someone is about to have cataract surgery, God. I pray, oh God, that you would touch their eyes right now. You will clear up their eyes right now. Be healed in the name of Jesus. I just thank you right now. High blood pressure, Lord, right now. Sugar diabetes, oh God. We just rebuke the diabetes right now, God. We know, God, that you're able, God, to heal. Be healed in the name of Jesus. If you're listening under the sound of my voice right now, I speak healing over you. Receive your healing right now in the name of Jesus. Receive your healing right now in the name of Jesus. Whatever your sickness is, lay your hands on yourself right now. Receive healing in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, for those that go to the elders right now. Father, for them to anoint them and pray for them right now. I thank you right now that they're being healed right now. I thank you that you're touching them right now. Lord, if they are shut in and unable to make it to the church, for someone to pray for them, I pray, oh God, that they would just step out in faith right now, that they would just stretch out their faith right now and be healed in the name of Jesus. I thank you right now, Lord, and I bless you. Heal right now, and I thank you. Dear friend, I bless you in the name of Jesus. I pray that God's richest blessings will be with you and your family. I'm going to play one or two songs before we sign off. This is Second Chance Ministries out of Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I've decided.
Oh, yeah, you know the
To make Jesus my own. Now listen to this song, Joy.
The song says, I get joy when I call on Jesus.
Around.
How many of you know that I get joy when I call on Jesus? God bless you, dear friend. You've been listening to Vision with Evangelist Faith Reed. I pray that you will be blessed and that your family be blessed. Shalom, and may the peace of God be with you. Too blessed to be stressed. Too blessed to be stressed.
Mr. Summer, we bless still with food. Me a funny girl, the blessings are running
back.
Me a
dead.
Imagine cause I'm half a glass of copper and over what to be.
I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be straight. I'm too anointed to be disappointed.
Right now, man, you know, say me well blessed. Inna me life, a pure peace and happiness. Inna me face, man, you can't find no stress. Me love God, so no doubt me, I confess. Jesus Christ, I'm my Lord, I'm my Savior. Jesus Christ, Him is my Redeemer. Jesus Christ, Him is my Provider. Jesus Christ, Him is my Protector. Right now, I am just the one I'm dead. I'm the one I'm dead, so be disappointed. Right now, church, I'm just too blessed. Just too blessed to be blessed. Hey, I'm too blessed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed. I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed. Yo, let me preach. Hey, let me wake up early this morning. Outside, no thunder and storming. But then me watch how God start performing. 5 minutes late and the storm start coming. Don't you know God is in full control? Nobody sit down in a chair with your hands full. Nobody make Satan make you feel cool. Everybody in the place, I shine like real cool. Me want everybody in the place to get hot. Like Jamaican food in a Dutch pot. And from the news, they did everything and touch that. Tell Satan to get back. Cause I'm too blessed to be stressed. I'm too anointed to be disappointed.